The Grow My Cleaning Company podcast helps owners of cleaning companies just like you to grow your company and yourself so you can make more money and finally get the time and money freedom that probably got you into this business. Discover how to automate and create systems that allow you to grow like crazy without losing control. If you dig the show and want to show some love, subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes. It really helps. Enjoy the show. Hey, Cleaning Nation, Mike Campion here with, I say it every time, but it's probably true, one of my favorite guests, Suzanne Bandick. She is our results coach, our mindset coach here at Grow My Cleaning Company. If it's what to do and how to do it, I'm your guy generally. If it's what to believe and how to actually get yourself to do the things that you know you're supposed to do, Suzanne is pretty much your lady. She far better than I at that. I wish I could take credit for this topic because it's so good. Probably one of the best topics we've not covered that I can recall, but I can't. It's Suzanne's. So I'm going to introduce it and then put the ball into her court, as is my custom. One of the most common, if not the most common thing I hear when people come to me is, I have got to get this fixed or I'm going to quit. I can't go on with this anymore. And I think the superficial thing that we all want, and I'm not only superficial, like it's not important, but on the surface is what I mean, is I want more money. I want to work less. I want lots of things. And those are all fine. But I really, really think the base layer of what we're trying to articulate, and that's why I love this topic so much, and Suzanne brought it up, is, for honest, I want to love my business again. When I first started, I had these dreams and this perfect picture in my head of what it would look and feel like and who I would be around and what I would be doing day to day. And it gets so warped and we're so far away. And it's almost like counseling. When people come on the calls, they're like, they don't want to admit it. It's almost like saying, you know, I love my kid, but sometimes he's a pain in my butt. I just wish he'd leave me the heck. Like, it's embarrassing. You don't want to say it, but you're like, I desperately want to communicate this with a human, but I don't want to say it out loud because I'll sound terrible. So same thing with our business. We're like, I really, really hate this. I don't love it anymore. And I constantly tell people, I love helping people make more money. But if I could pick helping you love your business again and loving your life and have your business create the life that you want, as opposed to your life being sacrificed to create the business that you want, and it just constantly needing more of your life and your money, I'll take getting people to love their business again because it's so closely tied with their life. So, that is the table as I see it. Suzanne, and we have not talked before. I don't have her outline. So I'm right with, and again, I love my business, but I've been in places where I haven't. So I'm kind of with you guys in terms of, I can't wait to see what Suzanne says about how to go from taking this tyrant of a business and taming it and loving it again.
Mike, you might be interested in the focus. It might take you on a totally different tangent than you expected.
Most of our calls do, and that's probably why they're my favorite. I always think it's going to be X, and it turns out to be Y, and Y is more often than not better than the X I'd hoped for. So,
okay, let's go on the journey. The topic, are you loving your business or are you resenting your business? Now, a business is energy, just like everything else in our world. Everything is energy. So, let's take a look at this in all the different aspects of your business. Think of your business like a friend. Okay. If your friend comes knocking at your door and you're like, another call, another problem. I don't want to see you. I don't want to deal with you. Do you think your friend's going to want to keep coming around and serving you?
Or do you think you're going to want your friend to keep coming? I don't want that guy coming to my door either.
Not a chance. Okay. On the other hand, if you can find the aspects where you can welcome your friend and welcome your business and look for the positives, your friend will want to come back. That energy will be good for you. Okay. So I want to take it into specifics. Mm-hmm. Mike's thinking here. I can see his thinking face. Okay. For instance, you're having a challenge with your cleaners. And you're really frustrated and you're like, whatever the aspect is, they're not working well together. They're not thinking for themselves. They're not doing a good enough job. And you start getting frustrated and resentful that you have to take care of these cleaners all the time. You feel like a babysitter. You're resentful. Do you think your cleaners are going to start to pick up on that energy?
1,000%. But let me jump in for the screaming people at their phone, whatever, however they're listening to this. So couldn't agree more, by the way. Yes, that 1,000% you're going to become resentful. And if you're resentful as a leader, what else can you breed but resentment? So I'm not picking that part up. I couldn't agree more on that. But the pragmatic piece of me, and I'm guessing some part of the audience is going, well, but how do I get them to behave? Like, you know what I'm saying? They keep quitting or no showing or acting like babies or fighting with each other, just doing crazy, you know, nutball stuff. How do I, if I could just, because I started with good energy, right? I didn't start resenting or hating or disliking or any of those terrible words. I started loving them. They turned on me. Like, how do I fix the, what I would see the root problem that, you know, the resentment I feel came from that's the effect, not the cause. How do I don't think fixing the effect will fix the cause.
Okay. It's our focus. Okay. So number one, focus on the good. Okay. The good aspects of your employees. I'm so happy I have employees because it means I don't have to do the job. Okay. That's loving energy, not resentful energy. So number one, I'm happy I have employees. There are some things they do well. Let's focus on that for just a minute. What do they do well? Maybe they always show up on time. Don't do the best darn job, but they show up on time. All right. Now, what do I want to fix? Well, let's start with my energy and my focus. They're not fast enough. How can I help them become faster? They're my friend. I want to help them.
What about the, because I think people will tolerate the, they won't love, but when I say people, I mean owners, our clients, will tolerate the kind of an order of fussiness or resentment. It would be no call, no show would be number one. And then kind of call a no show, like I'm always busy or something happened or whatever. Number three would be I show up, but I do a bad job and I get a lot of complaints for any reason. I'm a bad partner. No one likes me. I do a bad job. And then last would be, I do all those things right, but I'm not fast. So what do we do with, because again, for me, in my mind, and I love that we don't talk about this stuff so we can just have a kind of free flowing conversation. In my mind, it's a little chicken and the egg. Like perfect example, Suzanne and I, it's very easy for me to truly look forward to these call, you know, we do our live events and I know Suzanne's husband, who's just a great guy. And I truly am like, I am so excited to see not Suzanne so she can help my business. Like just Suzanne as a human being and Sean as a human, you know, Sean and I, who knows a lot about this business he's worked for us before. Last time we talked a lot about their front yard and all this rock he laid. It had nothing to do with business, but I was really digging hanging out with my man, Sean. So how do we, when you've got the right people, and again, I'm just trying to play devil's advocate because if I'm them, I'm looking at you, go, well, you got a Suzanne. It's easy to love her. Like, you don't understand. I don't have a Suzanne. I got a bad Anne, and that chick never shows up and she's drunk half the time. And, you know, how do we, is there a line where it's like, hey, I got to, well, obviously there's a line. So how do we make the distinguish between Suzanne, who's perfect, and I can just love on her and she came battery included. All I have to do is just give her all the love and support. She's going to be great with or without me. The middle of the road, like, yeah, this person needs a little more, you know, they do need some whatever, and I'm there to give it, and I think that's what you're talking about. And then the third category of this person is just not a fit, like there's, and not to say not a bad human, they might have some great personal things about them, but I can look at all the good I want, girlfriend no calls no shows, or she's just not here. Like I can look at what I like, but I can't have that going on.
Sometimes you need to clean the house.
So what would be, I'm just trying to take it up a level from that. So if there's those three categories, pretty easy to love those who are lovely. Like I don't have to gin myself up to be like, all right, it's going to be Suzanne. Like have a good attitude. It's like, yay, Suzanne. There's some that have certain lovely attributes and certain attributes that are more frustrating. And on those, a large part of it is the focus. And then there's the people who are just certainly have lovely attributes, but they're not a fit. So how do I take that focus when I'm like, all right, I got to let this guy go. And maybe he's the ninth guy or gal I've had to let go. And maybe he's my last guy. So I could, you know, as an owner, I can start kind of overwhelming with, it's never, you know, I can start telling a bunch of stories. How do I change the focus when it's not off the human, it's off the systems?
Okay, let's go back to the basic part of the business first.
Okay.
Loving the business means I love the freedom that it allows me. I love the money that hopefully it's bringing in, okay, or the ability I may have to increase my income, to have more money, okay? I love that aspect of my business. So if you want to take care of your business and nurture it because you love the fact, again, not resenting that, oh, now I'm on call all the time. I'm this, I'm that, I'm the babysitter. That's the resentment for your business. If you focus on the part that you love about your business, but wait a minute, it gives me time freedom. Now, I don't like the fact that I have to babysit my employees. Let's use that. Okay. So your employees, Mike, just like you said, there's a hierarchy. There's those that are doing great. There's those that need some support, and there are those that just don't cut it. So again, in loving your business, in loving your employees and wanting to create the best environment possible, you're going to say, I need to replace these employees that don't work. So again, it's always have, what do you teach? The hiring funnel running, right? You're going to need, and for some of our listeners, you're going to have a business, but Suzanne, you don't understand. I'm going to have nobody left.
Yeah, exactly right.
Right? Okay, so again, it has to start with, what's the best thing for my business? What is it that I want to see? I want an amazing team that work well together, that think for themselves, that are so good that I'm high-fiving them all the time. And I want clients that love us, lots of clients, and they love serving the clients, and the clients love them. So if that's the grand picture, let's go to work on the changes we can make that are in our control so we don't have to continue resenting the business or aspects in the business. We actually have the control.
I guess that's probably the, I hate to say the best, but arguably the best part of having a business is it's a meritocracy. It goes both ways. If I have a great business, it's like, well, hey, you know, I would say, well, it's the team. It's like, I've been blessed with lots of good things, but I did put the team in place, and I did, you know, like you can own that, which I don't think we do as much as we should. Hey, new friend, love that you are here. If you want more Cleaning Nation, more us, you can check us out on YouTube. Similar content, you just get to see each other. It's totally free. Or if you want to say, hey, hit us up on Instagram, Twitter, join our free Facebook group. We love hearing from you, Cleaning Nation. That's what makes it magic. Jump on, we'll see you there.
It's so easy, Mike, I go through it all the time. It's so easy to own the things that are going well in our lives.
That's the problem.
Things that are not, okay, my business, I feel like it's collapsing. Like I don't have the right employees. Like I don't have enough clients or the right clients. Often we want to blame something else, someone else, the circumstances, the government. We want to put blame. However, what if we also caused the fact that there are aspects that we don't like? What if we were the catalyst for that? And again, I go back to the energy of focusing on the things that you can love, the things that you appreciate, so that it's worth making the changes, right? When you encounter somebody that says, oh, I hate my business, I'm like, well, let's change that.
I'm sure many of you are familiar with a guy named Jocko Willink has a book called Extreme Ownership, and he's a Navy SEAL and talks about it in that realm. I really think another word for entrepreneur could and should be extreme ownership or extreme owner. Like if it's good, let's own it. And when it's bad, let's own that, which doesn't feel as good in the moment. Like no one wants to work in my area. Okay. So I guess there's no McDonald's then. No, there's McDonald's. Okay. So some people want to work, right? Like, well, but they're a franchise. Okay. Trust me, McDonald's is a lot worse to work at. No offense, McDonald's. It just, no one's like, well, it's a franchise. That's why I want, you know, fine. So you're the only cleaning company in your company. No, there's others. Okay. So people are willing, but they're a franchise. There's no independent. Yeah, there's the, okay. So when you start, and it's just like Suzanne says, it's focus. If we want to focus on the things out of our control, which may be the truth. The government's going to do this, and the people I've hired are lazy, and you know, I think we've talked about this before. I'd call it two truths and a lie. I hired a bunch of people and they all quit. Truth. That's just a fact. Period. They said they were going to show and they didn't. Truth. No one wants to work in my town. Well, hold on. That's just a big fat lie. So if I just say, make the global ridiculous statement, by the way, everyone's lazy. No one, including myself, was going to fall for that. But if I tell the two truths first, I hired 17 people. Four didn't even show up the first day. Within a month, especially when I had them work more, they all quit. Everybody's lazy. When I kind of set that up, it's, you somehow can stomach it. So exactly what you're saying, Suzanne, with it's choosing what I focus on. I could also say, so the same facts, right? We don't get to change the facts. I hired 17 people, you know, in the last 3 months, three didn't even show up the first day and all 14 are gone now. Those are all factual truths. So I'll bet you I've learned a ton of stuff that will help me hire the next 14. So maybe three or four of those will stay. And even if I'm too dumb, which no one's going to think, but I'm too dumb to figure it out, there are people that have hired 14 people and they stay and 10 stayed. Bet you if I just watched carefully, I could figure something out. Bet you if I Googled that crap, there's some chump that has done it and will either tell me how to do it for free or for money or something. So it's all just the focus. So I guess the big question I have, and you can open it up however you want, Suzanne, I don't want to take you down one road, is I know, being an owner for a long time, people hear, and I've heard content like this and I get excited, but then I get off the phone or the podcast and somebody calls and like, you just get hit in the head with reality. How do you take that head knowledge of, yeah, I really do need to focus on what I want, not what I'm not getting, because I'm going to get generally what I focus on. And, you know, obviously I have to do the right things in the right order, but when I get kicked in the teeth and kicked in the teeth, because it feels so good to just curl up and bitch and complain to my friends and have them go, you're right, Mike, everyone sucks and blah, blah, blah. And they go back to their crappy job and I go back to my crappy thing. How do I take it from the head to the actual heart and doing it?
Well, there is the $1 million question.
That's why we have you on.
Right. Okay. So we get now into habitual thoughts. And the habitual thought may be, this is the way it is. This is my life. This is what I have to put up with. And there's no changing that fact.
Heartbreaking.
Okay. It's realizing, and this is where, when we can own when things are not going the way we want them, when we can own it and we can say, I have some responsibility in that. That's not just outside of my control. When we can own that, you know what we do? We take our power back. Okay, so it's time to stop feeling like your business is out of control, like you're resenting it and you're tired of having it in your life. And it's time to say, I want to take my power back. So that comes back to what you asked, Mike. It's changed. Now you have to focus. How do you take your power back? You need to focus on your thoughts. And every time you want to grumble, you want to complain, you want to say this is bad, you want to say this is the way it always is, you've got to be aware of that and change the thought.
And it's funny because I've experienced, if I lose my temper or I allow myself to wallow in anything, a business or whatever, it doesn't even feel good. Like it feels kind of this gross good, like revenge good. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's like a sick good. Like, and I believe this is fairly universal. Like, I don't think anyone's like, I really enjoy this feeling through and through down to the bone. I think it's like, there's a sick, guilty, gross pleasure in it, but overall it doesn't feel good. Whereas certainly much harder to take it back and go, I own all this crap, this whole mess I created. Like that part ain't fun. Like it is hard. It ain't. But then it feels really goddamn good all the way down to the bone, because you're like, well, wait a second. If I actually created this thing, by golly, then there's one dude that can fix it and I have complete control over it. That's the only dude in the world I got control over. So it's kind of like it's almost delayed gratification, like the bitching to my friend, part of my language, who I know will empower me, be like, yeah, it sucks. Everything sucks. And they're always broke, by the way. That guy ain't ever living the life I want, or gal. Feels good. Or actually, I didn't even say it's easy in the moment. That's probably, it's not that it feels good in the moment. It certainly feels easy. Whereas ripping the Band-Aid and pulling myself up by my bootstraps and going, that's just not a reality I'm looking at. This is the reality. I can, I will. And you can focus as long as you want on how dumb you are and how bad the thing is, and you made this and it's all my fault. We can get all into the shitting all over yourself, shitting, trying to keep it clean. Or and again, you could do that for a week, a month, 5 seconds, 3 minutes. Like you get to control that, right? I think a month's inappropriate. Sometimes 10 seconds isn't enough. Sometimes you're like, you know what? I'm going to give myself a nice little 10-minute temper tantrum. I'm going to go all, that's my whole focus is how everything sucks and it's never going to change. I don't know if I'd invite anyone else to this little party. It should probably just be a you get a mirror if you want to really get
you can do that by yourself, Mike.
Yeah, that's not, you can invite folks. I don't think they're going to want to come. And then you go, okay, Mike, you look at yourself in the mirror. Mike, am I done? Anything? No, Bob. Okay, good. Get it all out. Tell me, stomp your feet. Be a little child. Now, are you done? I'm done. You ready to get to work? I'm ready to get to work. And again, that process ain't fun, but boy, is it so much better just how it feels like I can control this. Just that belief of,
yes,
I got it. Okay, I'm done talking. The rest of the time, I yield the rest of the time to the esteemed colleague from the South.
let's be aware. I mean, you opened up a whole nother topic, but I just want to add this in really quickly. Let's be aware that we grow accustomed to our habitual thoughts and thinking in a certain way. Mm-hmm. So the complaining aspect could be part of what you now naturally do. You think that's what you do. Mm-hmm. And be careful about the people around you, because you can get caught in a group of people who mm-hmm. love to just complain, and it makes you feel bad. It makes you feel almost good to say these bad things about everything that's going wrong. Just take a look around you and be aware. Our thoughts, our energy are creating everything that we have in our life. And my encouragement and what I'm always talking about is I want you to go back to loving your business. Mm. I want you to go back. You're loving your business. You're going to love your life. One thing, one aspect of your life flows into every area of your life. So take a look at your thoughts. Take a look at the people that you're hanging around. Take a look at the things that you're doing and take back your control and say, I'm tired of focusing on the things that are going wrong. Let's focus on the things that are going right and let's make more things that are going right. And I have control over that. Thank you very much.
I'm going to end with my big takeaway, because I think listening to your last couple minutes really crystallizes this for me. I think this will help Cleaning Nation. With our clients, I'm constantly saying, you can't keep doing what you've been doing and think you're going to get different results. And they all get it. Right? Like, I get it. And then not our clients, but people in the community go, I get it, Mike, 1,000%. I don't want this result anymore. And I know if I keep doing what I'm doing, I'm going to keep getting that result. And you know what they do? They keep going right back to the result. So what I heard from Suzanne, I think is kind of another level to that. If you keep thinking the way you've been thinking, you're going to keep getting what you've been getting. So we try to change the outcome or the result, which is the behavior. And that's really tough, right? Like, if at the end of the day, I believe I'm depriving myself and I'm going to be a miserable human being if I can't have cookies and sugar and alcohol or whatever makes me fat, I'm going to be a fat dude. Even if I work really hard to white knuckle and change my behavior. But if my thoughts remain the same, that shall be that. So yeah, that's my big takeaway. If I had to sum it up. In addition to, it's not to say that if you keep doing, you're going to do, and if you keep doing what you've been doing, you're going to keep getting what you've been getting. 100% true. But a corollary, which I think is equally true and maybe more helpful, is if you keep thinking what you've been thinking, you're going to keep getting what you've been getting, or you're going to keep doing what you've been doing, which will ensure that you keep getting what you've been getting. Anything to add before I wrap, sister?
Last thought, a business that you resent will not be profitable for you, and a business that you love will be.
So funny. You're right. Because if I had to pick, I mean, assuming my basic needs and my family's needs were met, right? Obviously, I'm not going to be homeless. But that off the table, if I had to pick a business I love that made half over a business I hated that made triple, I'll take the half every time, every goddamn time. Because really, we don't want money. We want the things that we perceive money to buy. And we don't really want the things money can buy. We want to feel the way that we think we'll feel when we have those things, whether it be food or a Ferrari, I definitely anticipate feeling a certain way eating versus not driving a Ferrari versus waiting at the bus stop. And it's like, well, gosh darn it. If really we're looking for the feeling, and again, we have to eat. Please don't hear me saying there's not a minimum standard of, you know, like money doesn't buy happiness. If you're living at $20,000 a year and it costs $50,000 to live, money can buy you happiness. I can promise you. If you're like, I can't have heat, I don't eat, I'm homeless. Yes, money will buy you happiness. But you get over that. And again, it doesn't matter what the number is, but I live indoors. I have food in the fridge. I don't believe money can buy happiness. You're just trying to get the feelings that you want. It's like, well, why not get the feelings that we want? And like Suzanne kind of alluded to, it's paradoxical. We have those feelings and all of a sudden the business doesn't do well. And when we focus on the bad stuff, the corollary to that is the business struggles. Am I completely twisting your words unrecognizably?
You got it.
All right, guys, gals. As always at the end, my fear with these gosh darn podcasts, I love that they're 20 minutes and they're super easily digestible. I hate that you can just binge listen and then not do a gosh darn thing. So if you end this podcast and don't think anything different, you won't do anything different, you won't get anything different. So usually I'm going to give you an action. This time I'm going to give you a thought. Just leave with, I'm going to be very intentional about not drinking in the morning before a podcast. And Suzanne's laughing. She knows I don't drink at all, and just hearing my own thoughts, right? And when I start piling on my own self and getting in that negative lap around crazy town, I'm just gonna be like, hold on, is that really the truth? And I'm gonna just refocus. And if that means you have to hang out with a different caliber of people or different, you know, people that have different beliefs, so be it. And if that's something you'd like some help with or want a little bit of an easy button or some rails to run on so you're not doing this alone, because this can be very lonely, just reach out. You can email me, mike@growmycleaningcompany.com. Do what I can to connect you with somebody or get you some sort of help. So that's it, Cleaning Nation. Hope that was helpful. Take some action. Do something different. Don't just move on to the next one. Talk soon. See ya. Well, here we are, the end of the podcast, and you made it. Great job. I've got a little bonus for you before for sticking through with me, but like I mentioned before, if you got value out of this podcast and you want to show a little love, subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes, Spotify, wherever the heck you're listening to this thing, share with a friend, share the love. And as a special thank you for those of you that stuck with me to the end, how about I give you my personal phone number so we can text? It's a great way for me to get to know you, your business, your goals personally. So shoot me a text now, 602-932-6431. That's 602-932-6431. I am the only one who responds to these texts, and I will personally respond to everyone I possibly can as long as this number is manned. Don't know how long we're going to keep this at the end of the podcast, so grab it now, 602-932-6431. Give me a text, say hey, can't wait to meet you.